Session. Any further questions of staff? Sue, are we back up? Thank you. Please call the roll.
It's a non-emergency.
Oh, I'm sorry, it is. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It will move to second reading. Thank you. Next item, please. 1222.
1222. Approved findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize a competitive solicitation for the use of the alternative contracting method of construction manager, general contractor, for construction of the Southwest Capitol Highway Multnomah Village Dash West Portland Transportation Stormwater and Water Main Project.
All right, we have a large group of staff here. Chris Warren, Lester Spittler, Steve Zinkethy. Probably I mispronounced that, Steve. If I did, please correct me. I apologize. Teresa Elliott, Michael Jordan. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Chris Warner from PBOT, alongside Mike Jordan from Bureau of Environmental Services, Teresa Elliott from Water, and, as you said, Lester Spittler from Procurement. We're here today to recommend an authorization of an alternative contracting method on a three-bureau partnership along Southwest Capitol Highway between Taylor's Ferry and Garden Home. It's about nine-tenths of a mile. We thought it would be a good opportunity not to just move through this milestone, but also to highlight the significant partnership and shared investment between our bureaus. To say this project has a long history is an understatement. At the lower left of the screen, you will see a snapshot of a letter from Sweeney written by Marianne Fitzgerald in 1993, addressed to then Commissioner Earl Blumenauer. The letter states that Sweeney's highest priority for the 1994 capital improvement plan is pedestrian and bicycle facilities along the entirety of Capitol Highway, including this segment that we're discussing today. In the ensuing years, this particular segment has been a tough nut to crack, but we had not been able to secure the adequate funding to move forward until recently. PBOT received a federal planning grant in 2008 to develop conceptual design, but there was a major shortfall in terms of dollars for construction. It wasn't until 2016, with the voter-approved Fixing Our Streets program, we had the confidence to relaunch the project and reengage the public. That vote provided $3.3 million of Fix Our Street funds to the project, and that leveraged another $5 million of transportation SDCs that we had already committed. Even then, it took an additional $2 million from the state legislature and Governor Brown, and $10.5 million from our partners in Environmental Services to be able to fully fund this project, which has an estimated construction value of around $18 million. That number puts us in the position to use the alternative contracting method to deliver the project, but we do think this is a tremendous opportunity for the area. Before I describe the scope of the project, I'd like to highlight the significant outreach this project staff has done with our community partners and what we have accomplished. We've been working with a volunteer neighborhood group called the Capitol Highway Subcommittee that has been weighing in on the project design details and impacts. Some of the members are here today, including Chris Lyons, who has been the chair of the committee, and they've been a fantastic group that really have helped us move forward on this project. In addition to the subcommittee, we've had two open houses, three community walks, three newsletters mailed to 700 addresses, 10 e-bulletins sent to 800 addressees, and we provided on-site construction consultations to more than 50 affected property owners. The transportation scope of the project includes continuous sidewalk and protected bike lane on the east side of Capitol Highway, where people walk on a narrow gravel path next to the traffic, and it gets a little bit muddy in the winter. On the west side of the road, we will feature a combined multi-use path to reduce property impacts on the steeper side. Four crossing improvements will line up with consolidated bus stop locations, and we've been coordinating with TriMet, and several side street improvements will be provided, including sidewalk on Dolph Court and a paving of a gravel section of Southwest 42nd Avenue.
Sidewalk on Dolph Court, all the way to the park?
Is it all the way to the park?
A little bit, though.
I don't think so.
No.
But there is some. That's really exciting.
Yeah, okay. There will be some. There will be some, not all the way to Dolph Court.
You can walk back and forth.
Yeah.
this is really great.
Yes, that's a great project. In summary, we're excited to move forward with the project that has been decades in the making. I think we can say this has been on the city's bucket list for a while, and so hopefully we can cross it off. We are particularly thrilled to have the partnership combine resources of BES and water to make this a cohesive project that uses public funds efficiently, and to have our partners in procurement services help us with the alternative contracting methods. With that, I'll hand it over to Mike Jordan to talk about the work of BES.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for having us today.
Thanks for being here.
You can see on this next slide some rather vivid photos of some of the challenges we have managing stormwater in this area. And I think one of the historic challenges with this project that's been going on, as Chris mentioned, for decades, has been the management of stormwater in the area. This area annexed into the city, quite frankly, mostly after development occurred. The development that's occurred since annexation has predominantly been infill development. The development that occurred in during that era occurred without lots of local street improvements. And without local street improvements, it's very difficult to manage stormwater because there are no curbs and gutters and there's nowhere to deal with that. Hence, many of the local private citizens in that area have built their own facilities. Some of them we know about, some of them we don't know about, but they have managed to be able to transfer stormwater from uphill above them to downhill below them, but not necessarily doing that systemically. So where the water went after it left their neighborhood, that was somebody else's challenge, quite frankly. And so you can see some of the results of that kind of intermittent management of stormwater. Further, the soils up in the West Hills do not percolate. They're tight-knit clay soils, and so infiltration does not work very well in this area. Historically, the Bureau of Environmental Services' position has been that if you're doing street improvements, it's PBOT's responsibility to deal with those issues. But quite frankly, that's not happening in this area. The project wouldn't move forward without a different approach. As you heard from Chris, the total budget for this project is somewhere around $18 million. $10.5 million is for surface water management. The next slide shows you some of the changes in our approach. We've had to take the challenge with Capitol Highway is that it is part of what needs to be a much larger system of surface water management. And so what we've agreed to do is not only provide some linear facilities within the right-of-way to help manage the stormwater as the project evolves, but also provide connections to detention and treatment facilities that are off the right-of-way. So there are multiple sites that we're going to be developing, one of which is on Dolph Court that we've acquired land for. We are currently acquiring land down at the end of 42nd, I believe, to do another one of those. You see some illustrations of those facilities here. So our commitment is to build facilities which will both detain and treat the stormwater that eventually finds its way back into Woods, Tryon, and Vermont creeks. And so with that, I'll move on to the Water Bureau.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Teresa Elliott. It's common practice for infrastructure bureaus to coordinate and identify capital improvement and maintenance needs that at the beginning of big major projects. Our planning staff learned that PBOT and BES were working on a major project in this portion of Capitol Highway, and we looked at our assets and decided that it was worth it to the Water Bureau and the ratepayers to join the project. We will be upgrading about a half a mile of our water main that's in Capitol, and going from a 6-inch pipe to an 8-inch pipe and changing to more pipe current pipe materials, relocating and replacing fire hydrants and upgrading a regulator device, and then adjusting our meters and services along the way. The replaced main we're actually designing as a seismic pipe so that it is better able to, more resilient and better able to handle seismic events, and its larger size will help us meet the growing needs of this community. The Water Bureau is covering the costs of the water system upgrades to a tune of about $1.5 million plus or minus something, depending upon the actual price of the contract. And then having all three bureaus upgrade their infrastructure at the same time does save the city money, it saves the ratepayer money, and it's a better use of our contract time so that we don't have multiple conflicting contracts.
Thanks, Teresa. So as you can see, this is an exciting time for us to work with our partners at BES and Water, and also to work with the community in terms of a huge need for the community and us being able to work together to really deliver results. Also want to thank Council for the Fix Our Streets program that you sent out to voters, because without that money, we probably couldn't have really turned the dial up in order to get this project delivered. On the next slide, you'll see kind of the project funding, and that includes $22 million, which includes the soft cost of the 18. The construction would be about the $18 million, but the other costs are included in this. So this is a major project for the city. It's a very exciting project, and I would like to just take the moment to thank all of the staff from all the bureaus that have worked on this. I think Millicent Williams and Steve Sigethy from our staff have spent countless hours within the community working on this, so it's a pretty exciting project. I think on the next slide, we'll take a look at the schedule. After today's milestone, we aim to have the RFP posted shortly and being out after the new year. Pre-construction, services, and final design will take place through the spring, summer, and part of the fall of 2019. Construction, we hope, will begin in the fall of 19 and lasting around 12 months. So the project should be substantially complete by the end of 2020, with the final pavement overlay during the dry weather season in spring of 2021. So now I'd like to hand it over to Lester from he's the city's chief procurement officer, to talk a little bit about the alternative contracting method.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. I'm Lester Spitler, the chief procurement officer. I'm going to go over the findings. So the project team reviewed and analyzed three different delivery approaches for this project and determined that the CMGC method would be the most advantageous. As far as some of the findings, we don't believe that the use of the CMGC request for proposal will diminish competition at all. We actually think that it might increase competition by because there's so much risk involved in the contract and because the contractor will be able to participate in the design phase. So we'll have a representative committee review proposals, and the criteria will include experience, key personnel qualifications, subcontracting plan, fee, and others. The project team also believes that a CMGC process will result in cost savings because the process allows the contractor to participate during design, lending their experience to provide feedback and propose value engineering ideas. This collaboration usually results in a more practical, constructible solution while maintaining design integrity and quality. It also reduces the likelihood of change orders because the contractor gets to participate in design and therefore is not receiving something that they didn't have the opportunity to provide feedback on. Another highlight in the findings are the public benefits that the project sees, a CMGC that will achieve. This is a complicated project, as was described previously, involving three bureaus that must be complete in 2020. A CMGC method promotes schedule efficiencies through the early contractor involvement and incorporation of time-saving approaches and ideas. The city also seeks to increase opportunities for women minorities to work on city construction projects, as well as to increase opportunities for disadvantaged minority and women-owned and emerging small businesses to work on city contracts as prime contractors or subcontractors. This project, because it's estimated to be $18 million, will be subject to a community equity and inclusion plan. That agreement will get executed post-contract award with the selected contractor, and the agreement itself will have goals for minority and women and diversity in the workforce of the construction project, as well as subcontractor utilization for certified disadvantaged minority and women-owned and emerging small businesses. The project team also believes that a CMGC approach will help with the sustainability goals and intends to provide incentives for tree preservation during construction. And lastly, under public benefits, due to the complexity and necessary coordination required for a project like this, the team believes that neighborhood and community impacts will be handled better with the CMGC process by ensuring that the contractor team has that experience and the necessary resources to involve the various stakeholders during the planning and construction phases of the project. In a competitive low bid, we would not be able to take those qualifications into consideration, but if we issue a request for proposals for a CMGC, that'll be something that we ask proposers to address and include in their proposal, and the team will be able to evaluate it and select the most advantageous approach. So with that, our recommendation to Council is to accept the findings, authorize the project's exemption from the competitive low bidding requirement, and authorize a competitive request for proposals for a CMGC process. I know the project team is here if you have any questions. Thank you.
Colleagues, any questions? Commissioner Saltz.
Well, I was just curious, what's the confidence level around the $18 million price tag?
I'll let Steve answer.
Morning, Mayor and Commissioner. Steve Sigethy, the Capital Program Manager at PBOT. I would say, using the rating system that you see in our ordinances, it's moderate. We're at the 60% design milestone now, so that's kind of appropriate for a moderate level of confidence, and we're going to proceed to a 90% design and estimate, which will have high confidence. And of course, as Lester mentioned, having that construction team on board during design will help us really narrow down and reduce that level of uncertainty as we move forward in 2019.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Saltzman, if I could add to that from BES's perspective, we are developing some sites in a neighborhood where it's very challenging, and because of what I mentioned regarding local street systems and private systems and the percolation of the soils. And so I think moderate is the appropriate level of confidence regarding this. We're doing some things we haven't done before, so it's going to be a challenge for us. And if I might just take a second, I also wanted to acknowledge, having walked through those neighborhoods with some of the folks who live up there, acknowledge their persistence over these many years to keep the problem in front of us. And then lastly, I want to acknowledge our staff, the design staff and the watershed planning staff. This was not on their radar screen a little while ago, and they've been asked to try and keep up with our friends at PBOT, who are moving at light speed for a project this size, and they've done a great job. So I wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Public testimony, please.
We have six people signed up to testify. Four of them would like to go together. So we will take Maggie and Tom Allen first and then call up the four next.
That'll be fine. Thank you.
Okay, this is just me. All right. My comment is just on contracts in general and how contracts are made and monitored and negotiated. A while back, I lived in Florence, Oregon, and I went to a clinic there run by Trillium, and they had a contract with the state, and you know, for healthcare, which is different from transportation, but healthcare, transportation, education, all those things are, you know, related. So what Trillium decided to do was not hire the number of doctors that they were required to hire under their contract for this clinic. And in order to get away with it, they decided that their receptionists were going to, when people called in to make an appointment for the doctor, they would go ahead and make an appointment for the doctor that did not exist. And so in that way, they could even charge. So these people would come in and think they were getting an appointment with the doctor, but they in fact were just going to see a nurse. And then they could charge the state for that doctor visit because the patient called in and made an appointment for the doctor and the receptionist took it, but said, oh, yes, the doctor's very busy. He won't be able to see you for 3 or 6 months, but you can see the nurse. So somebody, I don't know who, wrote Governor Kulongoski at the time and said, and you know it, you know, because they were lucky, they went and looked up the contract and found out and said, Governor Kulongoski, you know, now you know about this, you've got to tell people. So one thing I notice about states is when they make contracts, or cities, or, you know, federal people, they don't want to get egg on their face and you know, monitor these programs and you know, contracts and find out that they're not doing their job, or they're you know, doing something they shouldn't be doing, which is, you know, charging the state for doctor's visits that they didn't give to the people. So I guess what I would say about contracts is don't go in and do this and this. Everything looks fine. Everything sounds fine. Really monitor your contracts. That's what I would say.
Excellent advice. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Next individuals, please.
So if these four would come up, please. Marianne Terrell Levine, Chris Lyons, Patty Waitman Ingridson, and Eli Restcrow, I believe is the last name I see here.
Welcome and good morning.
Thank you
for being here.
And we're not going to go in sign up order,
however you'd like to do it. Sure, you bet.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Chris Lyons. I'm a Southwest Portland resident and chair of the Southwest Capital Subcommittee of the Multnomah Neighborhood Association. A number of us are here today to speak in support of this project. If you have driven this one-mile stretch of Capitol Highway, which is the corridor into Southwest from the Crossroads area, you've no doubt seen the lack of sidewalks, the lack of bike lanes, the lack of stormwater control, and until recently, a 35-mile-per-hour speed limit through a residential area. Apart from the road itself, the only real improvement is what we affectionately refer to as the goat path, which is a muddy trail that meanders along a ditch beside blackberry bushes, under tree branches, and around parked cars that force any brave pedestrian to have to walk into the road to be able to get up the road. For nearly three decades, Marianne Fitzgerald has led efforts to advance this project. It's been talked about, planned, partially designed, and funded, but never actually done. And as you heard today, that's in part due to the engineering complexity with the project. Yet it's remained Southwest Portland's number one priority for all those years. So in 2015, we created Southwest Capitol Highway Subcommittee, specifically to rally local residents and push for the change. A dozen local residents initially did some canvassing in the neighborhood along the entire stretch, about two blocks out from the highway. And today we have over 200 members that are part of the subcommittee. Our efforts have also enjoyed the support of the Multnomah Village Business Association, Oregon Walks, the Portland Commission on Disability, Friends of Spring Garden Park, Friends of Woods Park, Tryon Creek Watershed Council, and the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. All this support helped to lead us to secure funding through Fixing Our Streets, which has allowed the project to leverage additional funding from other sources. So thanks to all of you and to Commissioner Novick, who helped make that possible. Over the past 3 years, our subcommittee has had 11 meetings, two walking tours, and there's also been 9 city-sponsored open houses. Perhaps most importantly, local residents have worked together to successfully reach consensus on what we all want to see in this project. And it's not been easy. There's been numerous trade-offs and sacrifices we've had to grapple with, but there's also keen recognition that these improvements are long overdue. At each step, we've worked with PBA and BES to ensure that the neighborhood's preferences are reflected in the design. And the coordination between bureaus, as you heard from Chris Warner earlier, which now includes the Water Bureau, has been instrumental in the process and could serve as a successful model for future improvements in Southwest. So with all that, thank you again for your support for this project, which will greatly enhance the quality of life for residents in Southwest Portland, and we look forward to construction beginning about a year from now.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it.
You.
City Council. I am Patty Waitman Ingridson, and I am a longtime resident of Southwest Portland, and I have lived on Capitol Highway for 43 years. I am also the captain of the baton twirlers for the one, the Beat Goes On marching band.
Excellent.
And I'm very involved in Multnomah Historical, and I want to share that Capitol Highway was 99 West. It was a road to the Capitol, and it was a main road in Portland's history. We had young children that were raised on Capitol Highway, and they learned at a very early age how busy and dangerous Capitol Highway is. We have witnessed and cleaned up many accidents, swept up the glass, and over the years, and we have experienced water in our basement, which has caused a lot of damage. Safe sidewalks, curbs, and bike lanes and safe crossings are desperately needed, and we are excited that at long last these improvements and are planned as part of the Capitol Highway Project. We are hopeful that our water issues will be resolved by the BES portion of the Capitol Highway plan. Area residents, and especially Capitol Highway residents, have given strong support for the much-needed and long-overdue project. We are excited and greatly encouraged. The Capitol Highway Project will bring improvements that will benefit everyone. It has been a long time coming, and this is my third Capitol Highway Project that we have studied over the years. And this one's going.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ann Terrell Levine, and I live near Capitol Highway, near Dolph, where the holding pond is going to be. And I would like to thank you all for letting us have our testimony today. My topic is stormwater mitigation. First, I'd like to thank BES for succinctly their testimony as regards to the stormwater surface, and maybe I'll make it under 3 minutes then. The city of Portland needs to treat each neighborhood equally, but every neighborhood wants the city to know that we are different from the rest. And in Southwest, we have hills and water and impermeable soils, and we have to, and we have overdevelopment primarily in housing, which means that we don't have water absorption or retention. Houses take up too much space. Capitol Highway needs this improvement for road traffic and earthquake resiliency, and we thank you for the support. Improvements include stormwater management and road water runoff treatment before the water enters the watersheds of Trine Creek and Fano Creek. And to that end, BES plans for holding area basins for filtering and or slowing water release, including Basin 3 on Dolph Court near my home. These basins convey retained stormwater and road runoff water for filtering and slower release, reducing the possibility of residential flooding, like Patty's, like my neighbors. Flooding that did not happen in my neighborhood before the development in 2014 of housing. Now, these basins won't solve all the residential flooding, but it will, in cases, reduce the chances of residential flooding. And before I forget, I spoke with the Fish and Other Flora and Fauna last night, and they asked me to please relay their thanks for all your support. So thank you for fixing Capitol Highway, including stormwater and the runoff treatment and management areas. And I would like to encourage the city and PBOT and BES to do more to mitigate and treat road water and reduce the pollution and local flooding. Last, I'd like to thank Marianne Fitzgerald for campaigning Capitol Highway for the past 25 plus years, Chris Lyons for heading up the subcommittee, Steve Sigvathy and PBOT and BES for shepherding the plan through, and I'm grateful that we're going to get it done this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, sir.
Thank you very much. Actually, I've made a couple of notes. One of it is to start with a thanks to Steve Sigvathy for bringing the project to this level of success. One of the main attraction for us to move to Capitol Highway was a need to make a handicap accessible house. Where we live is not too far from it. However, we have 14 steps, and we found this property to move in to make a handicap access. That was the sub attraction. The main one was on the bus stop. So we're very much public transportation friendly. And that was all a good part till we actually moved around the Capitol Highway a little bit. We realized it's just not really possible to, you know, bike, or even more so to walk, you know, going to Barber Boulevard and Transit Center or the Village is, at best during the day, is dangerous. During the night is practically impossible. So I made a commitment to, when we met Steve, and it sounded like the funds are somewhat provided through the taxation and the level of work they've put in it, it seems like, God willing, it will be a successful process. So that was a success. That was a hope for us that this will eventually happen. So I committed to Steve two things. One, to name the bus stop after his name. I'm going to make a bus stop there. We want to call it Segeti's bus stop. And my second commitment was to provide milk and cookie every day during the construction. Aww. Well, the every day just popped out, but I thought maybe at least once in a while. That's one we really appreciated. You know, the 35-mile speed limit was, you know, it actually meant, you know, 40 or 45 or 50. So with this 25, you know, tremendous thanks for making that happen. It's at least at 40 right now. So hopefully there will be maybe police presence or even a, you know, those signs that indicates the speed. That would be very, very good. And the stormwater is actually a bigger problem that, you know, I am personally facing right now. My final point is, you know, if you're planning to develop some, you know, a residence, it's very difficult to go through permitting process for that very reason, that it's not, you know, they don't have the blessing from you, if you will, to, you know, allow permitting for people to who are planning to build. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
all
you.
Of it.
Thank you.
Does that complete public testimony?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
Well, thank you, everyone, for being here today and for your presentation. For many years, walking, biking, and getting to transit along Southwest Capitol Highway has been, I'll say, challenging. This is especially true for people with mobility challenges. This is a message that the community has delivered to City Council loudly and clearly over and over again for at least 25 years, and so I'm pleased that this project will bring significant progress on the issues. Every day, tens of thousands of people depend on Capitol Highway to get to work, school, and shopping. In the coming years, it's also going to be a vital link to our regional light rail system. Thanks to this project, getting from place to place along Capitol Highway will be easier and safer for people, especially for vulnerable road users. At the same time, this project will have significant environmental benefits. Thanks to the partnership and investment from BES and the Water Bureau, we will address long-standing need for better stormwater management along the corridor. So I want to thank the bureaus here today for their willingness to work together and their effective collaboration. I'm also very pleased with the efforts around public engagement, and I, of course, expect that will continue through the coming stages of this project. I especially want to thank the community leaders who have advocated for this project. We probably would not and could not have done this without you. You never gave up. You pushed us to be creative and collaborative, work together to deliver an innovative solution. So thank you for your tireless advocacy. Today we're one step closer to delivering the street you deserve. Thank you. I vote aye.
Fritz.
I don't think I really thought we were ever going to get to this day, certainly while I was on the council, so thank you so much. When I moved to Portland in 1986, I was 7 months pregnant with my first child, our first child. We lived on Dolph Court, which was why my extreme excitement over potentially getting stormwater facilities. Soon after my son was born in August, the rain started, and one of the first things I did during that time was to dig what we called the Panama Canal to allow the water to get to the storm drain from the puddle in the that was precluding access to the house. And my parents-in-law lived in that house for many years. I think they might have delayed their move to Cherrywood Village had there been sidewalks that you could walk to Barber Foods, that you could walk to Multnomah Village. And those sidewalks are going to be really crucial when the light rail goes in. I still walk the goat path several times a month and travel this section every day on the 44 bus. So it's really a very personal project for me. Want to start by thanking Patty Lee and Dorothy Gage, who were very strong supporters of strong women in Southwest, who are, I think, present in this chamber today. And thank you, Dorothy and Patty, for your leadership. Marianne Fitzgerald couldn't be here today, but she certainly has been stalwart. She got the Capitol Highway sidewalks done outside Markham Elementary School that were done maybe 20 years or so ago. So for those who say that it takes time to get things done, yes, it does, and you have to stick with it. And then you have to engage new and sometimes long-time residents to come and help push it over the limit. So thank you to everybody who's been involved, particularly Sylvia Bogart, the executive director at Sweeney, and Leonard Gard, who for a long time was the land use planner there. They supported volunteers like all of you, like me, and made us successful activists. And also thank Marty Suchek, who for the longest time was the Multnomah Neighbourhood Association chair and who was very committed to this project. Steve Novick, former Commissioner Novick, was insistent that it needed to get done. The partnership of water and environmental services was absolutely crucial. And I really appreciate this is a signature project, not just for Southwest, but for the whole city, because we are recognizing that doing it all together is going to save money, be more efficient, and make it an overall good project. So I would be very interested if you could send me the details of the detention facility. I'm just absolutely thrilled by that. And it comes, you know, every single member of this council has had a part of this project or has a part of it now. So thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for bringing it over the finish line. Commissioner Fish, that the park at Spring Garden is going to get a little bit closer to having a connection of a sidewalk all the way down to the fire station at 30th. Commissioner Saltzman, most of this project was done while you had transportation, so thank you for your support and that of your staff. Thanks to Mi Sun Kwan on my staff, and Tim Crail, my chief of staff, is out of town. He's miffed that he's not able to be here today. His property is actually on near Barber Foods, and we'll be getting a sidewalk outside his house. With all due care, I know will be taken to the magnificent beech tree that's in his front yard. He doesn't benefit any more or less than anybody else on this project, and we didn't have anything more. In fact, a lot less than many of the other advocates, but I wanted to mention that on the record and that we are very, very grateful for everybody who's been a part of this project for many, many years.
Fish.
Well, I want to also take a moment to go back in history. And I remember early in my tenure as the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services, there were two big issues that the community presented us with. One was a challenge to do a better job of coordinating with both residential communities and business districts when we did capital spending. And we've tried to honor that by doing more engagement, being more flexible in terms of when we do the work, avoiding conflicts with holidays and community events and the like. And I think we're continuing to learn and improve, but that was a clear directive that we received. The second, and this occurred initially under the leadership of Commissioner Novick and then Director Treat, and then has been brought forward by the current leadership team, was to strengthen our partnership with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. And in fact, there were conversations about maintaining a master database of public and private projects so that we were better coordinated. The goal, though, that I remember was leveraging our resources, but also coordinating them so we could get the bigger bang for the buck. And I can't think of a project which created more challenges than Southwest Capitol Highway in terms of putting that model into action. And I remember many, many conversations in the briefings that I got and with the community. And frankly, I think it's a minor miracle that we've reached this day. So I want to echo what a number of people have said about the tenacity and perseverance of community members. And Marianne Fitzgerald has got to be near the top of my list of someone who just constantly was beating the drum here about the need to do this. But this reflects, this particular project reflects a fairly new approach of our infrastructure bureaus working together, pooling our resources, staying in our lanes, because each of us has different funding sources and we have different requirements, but thinking about big opportunities to partner for the benefit of our community. And I'm very proud that we've reached this point, that we've had community members coming and testifying in such a positive way about this, and I know there's been highs and lows along the way, but we are now poised to do something really great. And we continue to learn from these projects, but BES will is deeply committed to strengthening that relationship with PBOT and working in concert to stretch the tax dollar. So I want to thank those going back in time that were fighting for this during the early days. I want to thank the current leadership teams for bringing us across the finish line. And as long as I have the honor of leading the Bureau of Environmental Services, Director Jordan and I will be working to look for opportunities where we can partner like this and get great outcomes. Mike, thank you very much for your work. This has not been easy to get to this point, but this is cause for celebration. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is really a day to celebrate. This has been a very tough but important nut to crack in terms of providing residents in Southwest Portland with a better means, a safer means of getting from Barber Transit Center to Multnomah Village and points in between, and to tackle the tough issues around stormwater. I, you know, having been in charge of BES and PBOT, I'm well aware of a lot of the finger pointing about who's responsible for what when it comes to surface water management, and it's always a big number. I was surprised when Mike Jordan just said it's $10.5 million out of an $18 billion project. So it is a very tough issue that has to be dealt with, particularly in Southwest with the geography and the soil conditions. So I'm really happy that to see three bureaus come up here in unison today to support this project. And I want to thank Steve Sigethy for all of his work, too, in shepherding, I went on a community walk and I went to an open house, but there's been a lot of community involvement. And certainly, Mary Ann Fitzgerald and Patty Lee, loom large in my memory of who's been really strong, staunch advocates of doing something here for a long time. So I'm really happy to be able to vote and to make this project a reality. Aye.
Wheeler.
I love the partnership here between the various bureaus and city government. We are working, I think, very effectively as an enterprise. We're bringing together the different bureaus that all have a role to play in making a larger community project successful. And I think it goes without saying, this particular project would not have happened but for the community being personally and actively engaged in making sure that this got across the finish line. So thanks to everyone who was involved. Commissioner Saltzman, I know you worked very, very hard on this as Transportation Commissioner. Commissioner Udaly has done a masterful job of rising to the occasion and going up that learning curve very, very quickly with her team. So there's a lot of good things to celebrate here. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you, everyone.